بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله من بعد. But first, before I go any further, I'm sure somebody maybe came in and thought, oh, I thought this was going to be in English. If we have any non-Muslims here, please raise your hand. Non-Muslims, okay, so we need to have at least a certain amount of English, right? Okay, good. And that's good because I know some English. Actually, I did my MA in English, and it helps me a lot because I can translate on the spot out of my native language. And for those of you that don't know, I hail from Texas. So I'm having to translate everything from Texas into English. Not real easy, but, you know, because where I come from, you don't say salam alaikum, you say howdy, y'all. I would like to just give a little bit of an introduction to the topic tonight before I jump into it. And I don't know if you saw the little schedule that we have published on the event that we plan on doing. But if not, you can certainly get one later. We have some extra copies of the flyer that was circulated. The organization putting this program together is the Muslim Student Association. They're all over the world, actually. And the organization that I work with is called the World Assembly of Muslim Youth. We work very closely with a number of organizations, especially youth organizations and the Muslim Student Association. And the topic tonight is evolution, creation in the last days, scripture prophecies. And then we intended to have some question and answer on this subject. I would like, first of all, to let you know that what we're going to talk about tonight is considered subjective. And this means that people have different opinions about it. And it's all based on how you look at something. So in order for us to make any progress, we need to start with some common ground. Because frequently when people get into arguments and debates on these subjects, a lot of bad things come out of it because of a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of hard feelings and so on. So how you can avoid that is to agree on some certain premise before you get started and then try to stay within certain parameters. And the thing that we'll agree on, first of all, is such things as we'll all agree if we point this way and say the direction is what? Okay, we'll agree on that, you see. And if we point this way, it means down. And we're never going to point up like this, and we're not going to say that's down, unless we make a mistake. That can happen, right? But what we're talking about is so that somebody won't come along and say, no, I call this down and I call this up. So if you do, there are certain things we need to just make some adjustments to the meanings of words. But certainly, and this is my main point about this subject, is we would never say that both directions are the same. This is not considered a mistake in language, a mistake in understanding, a mistake in concept. This is a mistake in sanity, because this is not logical. That direction and that direction are not the same. And I want to pick on the Muslims first because they can take it. They got tough skins and they know what I'm talking about. But then we'll move into some of the other areas and it might scratch you a little bit, so be ready, okay? And make some notes and be ready to ask me some questions because I hope, God willing, that when I'm through with this, you'll have a lot of questions. Because if you don't, it means either I put you to sleep or you didn't catch the meaning and I need to work on my translation in English again. Okay? So we'll start out by mentioning a hadith. And those who don't know what a hadith is, this means a saying or a story which is communicated over a period of time about something that happened with our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Peace be upon him. Those sayings have to be verified and have a certain criterion that they stand against to have validity. Then they're rated by scholars of Islam to tell us what's the condition of this. Now, if we know for sure that this man who said this is reliable and he took this from somebody that's reliable, This is how it works, called a chain of narrators. Okay? There is a hadith which says that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "My companions are as the stars in the heavens, and whichever of them you would follow, you would be rightly guided." Okay? Now let's listen to the meaning. That sounds like a nice thing to say, doesn't it? Somebody is a disciple of a prophet, and he's certainly a good person, somebody with high character, high morals, good qualities, and you're saying that, you know, you wouldn't go wrong by following these guys. Any one of them you'd choose, you'd be doing a good thing. But if you really analyze it and think about what's being said here, it does go against common sense. How? Okay? Because common sense tells us if you're trying to go south and you follow the highway signs that say north, you're not going to go south. That's right. And long before they had highway signs, people followed the signs in the heavens. Since man was able to look up at the sky and say, "Golly, that's what it looked like last night at this time," and he figured out where he was and started traveling, people looked at the moon and the stars to get their bearings to understand where they were going and where they'd been. And you cannot follow the constellation called Cancer, or the constellation called Leo, and get the same results as if you follow another one. In other words, I'm going to go this way. I see those stars over there. I'm going to go that way. But, oh, wait a minute, I want to follow these. And you're saying I can follow these in any direction and I'll still be going the right way. I won't be. So it's not a logical statement. Everybody with me so far? Understand what I'm saying? That is not logical to say something like that. How many of you ever heard the hadith before? Raise your hand if you know this hadith. Okay, good, you know what I'm talking about. It's fabricated. It's not true. He didn't say that. In fact, we found six hadiths, very similar, and one of the key ones that stands out in my mind, it says, "My companions is the stars in the heaven, whichever one of them you follow, you'll be rightly guided. And a man will come after me who is worse than the Antichrist, and his name will be Muhammad ibn Idris." How many of you have heard that one? You know this? See, you've probably read the book of Sheikh al-Albani about this, right? Because that's he's the one who exposed this falseness. Nobody is worse than the Antichrist when he comes. There will be nobody worse than him. He will produce the worst calamity or fitna that will ever happen on the earth. That's a fact. We as Muslims accept that. So how could we all of a sudden accept that somebody could be worse than the worst? That's not possible. Again, this doesn't make sense. Follow what I'm saying? Okay. Who is Muhammad ibn Idris? That's the key. This is a person that a certain group of people didn't like because those who followed him exposed the mistakes of their scholar. So rather than accept the mistake, rather than accept that they were wrong or that their scholar could have made some errors, they eulogized their scholar and put him up on a very high pedestal, and then lied and fabricated this story about Muhammad ibn Idris. Who knows who is Muhammad ibn Idris? Anybody? Who? Imam Shafi, right. One of the four great Imams in the history of Islam, Imam Shafi, the student of Imam Malik, and the teacher of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So for those that are not Muslim, you're going, "Okay, I don't get it." Those are just the points. The point is that somebody is defending a losing position. They're wrong, and they can't accept that they're wrong. So instead of saying, "Okay, I'm wrong, or at least I'll shut up," they lied and fabricated a story. Now, here's what's so dangerous about this for Muslims. We as Muslims know that our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, did say in an authentic hadith, if anybody attributes a lie to me, say something I didn't say it, he can go ahead and reserve his seat in the hellfire. And may Allah save all of us from that. Ameen. Now, if you're with me, Muslims are with me, what I'm talking about. Now, for the benefit of the non-Muslims, there are a number of things that people have said to defend their position when they were totally wrong, and they couldn't deal with the fact that this is the wrong thing because it means all my other conclusions are also wrong. And I hold a PhD, and I don't want to lose my position as a fellow at the university. I don't want to lose my credibility. I've written thesis, I've written documents on these subjects, and I don't want to back up and say, "Oops." So better for me to go over with some other guys who got the same egg on their face, and let's make up some crap and throw it out here on everybody. Sorry for that. If you didn't know what that means, good. If you do, tough. This thing always bothers me. By the way, we don't have any clergy in Islam anyway. I am a chaplain, and that means like imam for the Muslims, for institutions. And I wear that kind of for a fun thing, so when I meet people, they'll go, oh, you might know something, let's ask him, you know. But obviously, I already got the microphone, that's all I need, so I don't need that anymore. What would you say, you know, to somebody who makes a statement that's obviously stupid and obviously wrong, and yet he believes it? What would you say to somebody who says something that's just really dumb? Okay? If somebody tells you that his grandson is also his grandmother, what do you want to think about that guy? There's no logic in that. That's stupid. You don't even want to sit with this guy, right? I mean, you're at the lunch table and you're this guy talking, you're going, why did I sit here? Right? Okay, now watch. In the 1970s, a journalist, and by the way, journalists, if any of you are studying journalism, you know a lot of it's based on sensationalism. Because you've got a story here, and that's the only story you've got to cover, but you need your Pulitzer Prize. So if you're going to get that prize, how are you going to get it? You're not going to get it by saying that the Boy Scouts helped a little old lady across the street today. That's not going to happen. I need to get something sensational out of this thing, right? Huh? So some young street boys, right? So like make it sound like they're some kind of gang, right? Grab some old lady, right? And then just kidnap her. Well, truthfully, that's what happened, because she didn't want them to have to help her across the street, so they forced her. But she was thankful at the end of it. But look, see how they can turn that into a story. Make sense? Okay, now you get this. In the 70s, a journalist said, one-fifth of all the people who have ever lived on the earth are alive today. Oh, wow. One-fifth of all the people that ever lived on the earth are alive today. Oh, wow. Let's say it again. One-fifth of all the people that ever lived on the earth are alive today. Well, we have a lot of people alive today. Wow, look how many people are alive. And at that time, there was probably like 3.5 billion, 4 billion people on the earth. And they were saying, wow, that's, according to our numbers, one-fifth of all the people that ever lived. You know what? People picked that up and ran with it. That was in the news. It became a very famous statement. People were talking about this subject all so much. It became a subject for people to talk about in universities. People were writing papers about this subject. But guess what? It was fabricated. They just made it up. He just said it. And it worked. You know how long human beings been on the earth? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Millions of people have been destroyed in floods. Millions destroyed in volcanic eruptions. Millions of them destroyed by hurricanes and earthquakes and so on. Right? And more people came and more people got destroyed and more people came. So why you said something like that? Sell newspapers. And it worked. You say, okay, that's a small point. But if somebody told you that human beings came from monkeys, how many in here would accept that right now? Human beings have evolved from the primates. If you accept this idea, raise your hand. You accept that? Really? Are you a human being? You evolved from a monkey? Really? Can you like swing from a tree or something for us? No trees, otherwise you could do it? Okay. Tell me this, what do you like better, watermelon or bananas? Bananas? Really? It didn't have any good hubbub yet, that's the problem. That's Arabic slang for watermelon, but hey. So, for those people who accepted that idea, they must have some reason to believe that. How many don't agree with that theory? Raise your hand. Wow. What do you think about these people that don't think the right way? Feel sorry for them? Same thing, right? From your point of view, they're misguided, right? No? If they don't believe what you believe, which one of you is right? Well, I mean, there's two different philosophies here. They can't both be right, can they? No? So one, here you always have three choices, by the way. Either you're right, or they're right, or what? Both wrong, right? Could be both wrong, right? How many of you think God, there's a God, and He created human beings, just created them outright? How many of you think that's not correct exactly? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Some universities, I get a lot the other way, stacked the other way, because it depends on what the subjects they have. What do they teach here at Ohio State? What's the big curriculum here? What are they working? What's the subjects? Huh? Engineering or medicine? What's the strong suit here?
Well, there's no strong suit. General.
It's general.
Yeah. We're not good at anything, but
reading and writing and arithmetic. Okay. If you accepted a statement like this, that humans evolved from primates, I would ask you if you had any kind of an evidence for that or a proof. And I don't want to put him on the spot or anybody else, because I don't like that when people do that to me either. And if he was up here and wanted to take the challenge, it's different. So just in general, I'm going to ask myself, how can I come with this kind of a conclusion? Did you just wake up thinking that? Just all of a sudden one day you're walking down the street and said, no, how did human beings get here? See, did we come by extraterrestrial spacecraft? No, I'm going to rule that out. Did we evolve from chickens? Nope. I don't think so. Monkeys, that's it. We just came from monkeys. I don't think that's how people got that. What happens is, and our prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, told us that all human beings are born in a natural state of submission to God. They're already born in this state when they're born. But it is the environment and their people and their background and so on that causes them to be changed into these different religions. And we're talking here about Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhist, Muslim, all the rest of it. These are different religions. I submit to you tonight, and the reason I brought that up, when I'm supposed to be talking about creation and evolution and so on, I'm going to submit to you that, in fact, those people who don't accept creation, but rather accept evolution, are nothing more really than just another religion. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because a religion always has some theory associated with it, doesn't it? Theory? Is there theory involved in evolution? Yes, thank you very much. That's why it's called Darwin's proof. Darwin's facts. Or Darwin's theory. Okay. Let's be fair. And by the way, I have a couple of books here. And I'm not promoting books. I promote tapes. But I ran across this book, Evolution of Deceit. I ran across this book in my hometown bookstore, fell in love with it, and actually bought it. Usually I'll stand in for hours and read, because I can save a lot of money that way. And I already have a million books, but I had to have this book, so I bought it. And this morning I got on the plane, and as I was waiting for it to take off from there, I said, oh my God, I forgot my book. And I was really upset about that, because I want to finish reading this. Whether I ever tell you about it or not, doesn't matter. I really love this book so much. I'm enjoying it, and it's really a gas. So, when I got off the plane, the brother that picked me up at the airport, he said, we just got to the back of the car, opened it up and put suitcases in. He said, I want to show you these books. And I looked down, and I saw he had 15 of these. I said, all right. I don't have any theory about that. It's just a weird thing. Revolution of deceit. Hoboken. You got to read it. You got to read it. It's written by a Muslim. His name is Harun Yahya. We have some copies of the book. I paid 13 and a quarter or 13 and a half, whatever it says, and this price is on it. But brother is going to sell them for what, $10? Whatever. Yeah. You're like me, you just want the people to get the information. Yeah? But I'm telling you, this is a read, you got to have it. You got to do it. You got to do it because you will laugh. I have another book. It's called The Lies My Teacher Told Me. This is written by a history professor. How many of you heard of that book? Good book. Excellent book. If you get a chance, you can go to Borders Books and Music, or you can go to Barnes & Noble, one of those places, bookstops, something like that. Get this book. Read it. And see what happens when people get pressed against the wall and they're going to make up something because that's what they want you to believe. All right, real quick, I'm going to run through a couple of them. I've used up a lot of my time in the introduction, but now I get to the point where we have some fun. Who discovered America? Real quick. Name?
America.
By the way, I have a microphone and you don't, but there are hundreds here, so I just need you to just get loud, okay? Who discovered America? Christopher Columbus. Okay, good. Very good. Very, very good. It's absolutely not true whatsoever, but I knew you were going to say that. I wanted you to say that. Christopher Columbus discovered America in what year? What month? October. He left in July. He left and he arrived here in October. Right? Right? No, it's not right because he didn't arrive here. He went to the Bahamas. His travel agent booked him in there. He got an off-season rate. Good. It's excellent. He came again and again. And every time he came where? The Bahamas. If you've been down there, you see why, man. The sands are beautiful. They eat that conch, if you ever had that. Delicious. But he never set one of his fat little feet on American soil. And I'm sorry, if you thought he discovered America, he didn't. But we need to say that in the West. We need to say that because that's a part of a bigger philosophy that we're working on. And Darwin's theory is really not exactly what you think anyway. His strong suit was called the survival of the fittest of the species. Survival of the fittest of the species. That group with the strong ones would obviously overcome the handicapped ones or the poor ones, the down ones, and that would survive. When did he come up with this idea and how did it come about? Do you know anything about this idea? He didn't actually say human beings came out of monkeys. Although he accepted the idea of evolution, didn't bother him. That wasn't what he was talking about. He was very impressed about the way certain birds had developed their beaks. They were called finches on the Galapagos Islands off the coast of Ecuador. And when he was there, he observed that from island to island, according to the various ecological structure, in other words, if it's grain, or if it was a wooded area, or if it was a lot of rocks, that the birds living there, their beaks fit that niche. They could eat there. They could survive there because they were built like that. So when he went from island to island, he theorized that these birds had evolved from some primitive bird, and then this was a more advanced bird, and this is a more advanced bird, and so on. One of the things he kind of overlooked was they all were alive at the same time. So that's not evolution, is it? Not in the sense where something evolves over a period of time into something else, right? This is a different matter. As a matter of fact, in October, that same month, October, in 1998, there was a PBS special about the effects of El Nino. Who knows what's El Nino? You know what I'm talking about? That weather condition that changes things around the planet. Weird. What happened, all of a sudden, there was a tremendous amount of water being released on the Galapagos Islands, and some of those islands changed their structure, and wind blew things from seeds from other areas, and so they had different plants that they had never had before, and they had a lot of foliage that they didn't used to have before, and others became more dry than they had before, and a lot of things changed. And in this special, they accidentally, slipped and mentioned the fact that within 6 months, not 6 million years, as Darwin had supposed, but within 6 months, when the eggs hatched, the bills, the beaks of the birds had changed to be able to eat what was on their island. And they glossed over it and went on with the story, and I went, oh! I said, why didn't I have a recorder? I would have loved to have caught that. Hello, Darwin, where are you? This is an amazing thing. You're saying this can happen that quick. How? How? According to the Muslim, this isn't possible. It can't happen unless Allah causes it to happen. He can do that because he can do what he wants to do. It's no problem for him. For us, how many people in this room, regardless of your religion, you believe there was somebody who was born about 2,000 years ago? He was born miraculous birth. He had no father, but he had a mother. Miraculous birth, and there was a man, and he claimed to be a prophet. How many agree with this idea? Raise your hand. How many don't agree with this idea? None of you. Okay. Why would these people believe something like that? Can you imagine this? Why would they accept an idea that a man can be born from a woman and no father? I don't think so. Do you? Doesn't sound right. But by the same token, when you start telling me the humans come out of monkeys, that's also kind of weird because monkeys still exist. Hello? I just told you about the birds. Monkeys still exist. And after you read this book and you find the lies that they've used to try to prove their point, you won't believe any more than I do that we came from monkeys. Where we came from, I'm not trying to prove that point tonight. But I'm telling you, when you see some of the things, give me an example. How many of you heard about the Piltdown Man hoax? You ever heard about that one? Happened in England. A number of years ago, somebody, some professor decided, no, I got to prove my point. Now look what he did. He fabricated. He took part of a very old monkey, part of the skull, and some other parts of things from a human, and buried them in the ground, and then later come along and act like he discovered it. Now, you got to, to be honest, you got to be a little bit sick to do something like that. Don't you agree? Isn't that a little bit weird? This is not a theory anymore. This is called deception. And people bought into it for a while, and then they did some thinking about it, and they did some studying, and they did something called carbon dating. And they said, oops, doesn't work. First of all, even the monkey skull itself wasn't that old. It wasn't even a couple thousand years old. Not the millions of years that they tried to suppose it was. How many of you heard about Nebraska Man? Anybody heard about Nebraska Man? Yeah, that was a cool one. Listen to this. In the early part of the last century, they came up with, oh, we found the remains of Nebraska Man. This proves that on the earth right here in the United States of America, millions of years ago, upright man was walking along, and here he is, and they drew pictures of him. They had a place in the museum. They had drawings of it, and they had all kinds of, relics that they were showing in association with this big discovery, the huge discovery that they had out here to show everybody, and you could go look at it and see this proof without any doubt. This was the missing link, the connection between who? Man and monkey. Wow. Do you know how many different theses? Is that how you make it plural?
Theses.
Yeah, be careful how to say that. Because it gets pretty close to that, too. How many people wrote articles on more than 50 based their dissertation on this subject of Alaska Man? Nebraska Man. Could have been Alaska anyway, for all it's worth. Until in 1939. Somebody observed that, gee whiz, these remains look strangely like some remains we have in another museum. Let's go check these remains against those remains. and they were exactly the same without even a little bit of doubt. So these remains were the same as those. And guess what it was? Are you ready? One tooth. That's all it was. One tooth from a prehistoric pig. Oops. Oops. Okay. Well, anyway. So what did they do? Did they? By the way, all of the, before, big hype in the newspaper. Big hype on the media. Everywhere you would look, Nebraska man approves of human beings. Okay, okay, good. But when they discovered the mistake, did anybody say one word anywhere in any media, any publication? Did anybody write any doctor's thesis about liars and fakers? No. Silence. Why? Hidden agenda. There's a hidden agenda behind all of this. I'm going to tell you what it is real clear. There's a word in the Arabic language, asabiyya. Asabiyya is what it's really all about. Prejudice, racism. Islam is forbidden. I'm disappointed when I hear a lot of Muslims from other countries ask me about the people who enter Islam. We have a huge number, by the way, all over the world are coming into Islam these days. And I don't say that to just throw that out as a commercial or anything. Just telling you it's happening. It's a real happening. Tens of thousands of people have entered into Islam in the last few years. And I have witnessed this with my eyes and that camera, too, just in case you doubt it. And there's some tapes there you can watch them do it. But along the way, some of the Muslims, born Muslims, have asked me, and when I visit other countries, they say, yes, but are they black or are they white? For a Muslim, a dear friend of mine from Egypt, I was eating with him last night at his home, and he said, somebody asked me a question and I don't know what to say to them. I said, what did they ask you? He said, well, somebody from my country asked me about Muslims coming into Islam in America, and they said, are they mostly black or white? He said, I never thought of this color in my life, in my whole life. I never thought about a Muslim having a color. But where you find that is where you have what we'll call, excuse me for saying this, Western mentality. We're using that term, and I'm going to actually tell you, and again, I'm going to introduce a little subject tonight. And over the time that I'm here, I'm going to be expounding on these things and try to bring some proof. It reminds me of a prison, you know. I can suggest you too sometimes, though. Oops. You must have show up tomorrow, Juma, and you hear about how soon you sit in the movement was in the potato. Shall of one. But so anyway, what we're talking about now is another thing I want to mention that, in fact, it's not really Western mentality. This is nothing more than the old Roman religion of 2,000 years ago. The Romans were very, very prejudiced. And they thought they were better than the other people on the earth. And wherever they went and they spread their civilization, one of the things they did was force people to enter their religion, or they couldn't be a full Roman citizen. You could keep your other religion, but you couldn't be a citizen. Or you could join in and still sneak over and do your other religion on the side, but you needed to join the Roman religion. That same disease has manifested itself right over here. We call it the free enterprise system, but if you look at it real close, you'll find that a lot of what we call Western mentality, Western society, has its basis in a far, far, far more ancient source. And that, again, is not my topic tonight. I just touch on that. Actually, tonight's program is to introduce you to some of the talks that we'll be having between now and Sunday night. So, Sunday night or Saturday night? Saturday night. Sorry about that. So, what about this idea of evolution? Can something evolve into something else? One of the things that they talk about in evolution is this concept of something exploding. And this mass explodes, then it kind of like expands all over the universe. Somehow, one of the planets, by one of the suns, is covered all over with water, and a blue-green algae comes up out of the water after it's there for a period of time, then something has to come along and eat that. And then those things that are eating that, some kind of amoeboids or whatever, something has to come along and eat that. And then something bigger has to eat that. Where are these things coming from? This is amazing. And they gloss it. Go read the books. Go back and look at your science books again and see what they say. They use statements that sound like he said something. He didn't say anything. He just said, like, I don't know, but he said it in such a way that it sounded like, oh, yeah, that's a fact. The next concept is that these things in the water, we would call them fish, right? Something living in the water, reptiles or fish or something. All of a sudden, how do we get them on the land? Now, that's pretty good. I like the way they do this. First, there's one idea. They become birds. How do they become birds? Well, you know, there's something like just going over the top of the water and they're trying to jump up and get it. Well, what's that thing all of a sudden that's on top of the water that's flying up there? What's that? Well, those are flies. Where'd they come from? Oh, well, you know. But now the fish is going to jump up in there and the kid is jumping up in there until someday they come up with these wings. That's pretty good. And somehow, a reptile, now a reptile, does anybody know about reptiles? This is cool. Reptiles are dense. They're very dense creatures. You know that? A snake is not very big, but if you weigh him by his size, he's heavy. Dense. Birds cannot be dense or they can't fly. Their bones are hollow. You know that? Bird bones. I didn't say bird brain, by the way. Bird brains are also hollow. That's another sentence. Bird bones are hollow. How all of a sudden this reptile loses his density and now he can just jump out here and he's flying. Wait a minute. And his lungs. Do you know the difference between the lungs of a bird and the lungs of a reptile? Inside the water, they have to have lungs which are more like the type that we have, where they come down in the little sacks. You know what I'm saying? But a bird doesn't work that way. It kind of goes through like an exhaust. It goes straight through. It's a totally different setup for a bird than it is for a human being. And definitely for a reptile. How do you justify that? Evolution. Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, what's the matter with you? But if I use the name of my religion to cover up something, you won't accept that. So I say, well, a man can be born from a woman with no father. And you say, how? I say, Islam. And you say, oh, okay. Because Islam teaches that. Islam tells us something even more amazing. That the first human on the earth was very, very big. He was huge. And he was only one. And he was created without a mother or a father. He was created by God, who just blew life into him. And if you question it, I'll just say Islam. And you'll go, oh, okay. Because if you want me to believe your religion and you just say, evolution, oh, okay. The only reason evolution really hangs together, read this book, you gotta read it. Trust me. If you don't like it, I'll give you $10 back. You gotta like this book. Because this is what he explains in here very clearly. Why do you think this Darwinism, quote unquote, this idea of creationism versus evolution, why do you think this is such a big point? Because underneath it is materialism. Materialism. This means a class of people who want to rule the rest of the people. A class of people who have decided they are gods. They know more. They got more going for them. And you're just a bunch of cows. So, give your religion. It's okay. You're a cow anyway. You're just a monkey. Okay? I'm a higher monkey, up higher on the evolutionary scale than you. Some of the things that they taught us when I was young in school was that black people were not evolved as much as white people. You ever hear that? Man, you didn't live in the South. KKK will tell you that quick. They got all kind of pamphlets about that. They show black men walking along, dragging his nose, and say, oh, like that. Why? It's not about religion. It's not about science. It's about do-re-mi. It's about control. Because it becomes okay. You can justify when you talk about the Native Americans that were in this country whenever my ancestors came over here and colonized them and civilized them. That's what they called it. We colonized them. Anybody know what scalping is? Not football tickets. I'm sorry. Sorry. Scalping. What am I talking about, scalping? What do I mean by scalping? Anybody know? Cut the top of their skin from the head. Why? Because who did this? Who was the first people to do this? No. I want you to say that. That's a lie. The white people did it to the Indians first. Because what we used to do was to strip all their skin off of them. That's a famous thing. It goes way, way back into old, old European history. That's so ancient to strip all a person's skin off of them. And it was done during the Inquisition. Give him a microphone. It was done during the Inquisition. And that's before this place was colonized. What happened was there were so many Native Americans over here. And to really put them down, those who colonized them and civilized them took only the top of their head because they said they weren't worth skinning all the way. That's how it really came about. Did you know that? You know it now. And it's not very funny, is it? I didn't like it when the Indians did it to us, and I don't like the idea when I find out that it was us that did them first. Either way, it's wrong. But why? Why? I'd like to get some understanding on why a human being would do that to another human being. But at the same time, we have other human beings going into Africa and taking people as slaves. But they could justify that when they started talking about things like human beings really came from monkeys. We're just really taking a higher grade of monkey. That's all. No big deal. It wasn't until John Kennedy took office that we really heard what it's all about. A lot of you have high estimation and high regard for the United States of America and what it stands for. And certainly being from here, I know it has its advantages. But look at what Kennedy said himself. He said, 40 years ago, America has one half of all of the wealth of the world. And still today, it's about the same. One half of all the wealth of the world, and only 6% of the population. If you put that together, it spells out something real clear. The few have the much, while the many have the least. No wonder the rest of the countries look over here with such admiration, because they see so much wealth. They see so many things, tangible, material things, which are available here. They're not available in those other places. Why? Because the other 94% of the human beings on earth have the other half of the wealth. And it's not being evenly distributed, as you know and I know. So what I'm telling you is that these theories are being promoted for a reason. A big reason. And these are is materialistic. I invite you again. Read it. See what you think. Then email me. We have a website. It's called IslamToday.com. Go to the website and learn about some of the other things that we'll be talking about this weekend. The subject of priests and preachers that enter into Islam. The big numbers of people around the world who've come into Islam. Some of the subjects, like the women are coming into Islam more so than men, by the way. It's a very interesting subject. And learn more about Islam and what the true teachings are of Islam and what's Muslims, what it's all about. I'm going to wrap it up right about here and then see if we have any questions or answers. If you have the answers, I'll give you the questions. It doesn't matter to me. Go either way. And I think we're going to take them by, they're going to write them down. You're going to have somebody collect them, or how do you want to do that?
Okay, so I will go ahead and take the questions now from what we have written, and if there's any time left,
we'll try to take something from the floor as well. It says scientists make mistakes, but continuous improving. One day it can prove evolution by improving technology. How about Christian or Muslim? Wow. Okay. You're saying, first of all, you make a lot of assumptions in your questions, by the way. It doesn't sound as much like a question. It does like trying to sell yourself on an idea. Let me tell you before I answer these kind of questions, a little statement, and then see how you like it. Is your mother out of jail yet? Is your mother out of jail yet? I need you to answer yes or no. I don't need you to tell me about your mother. I want to know, is your mother out of jail, yes or no? If you say yes, I'm going to say, good, I'm glad she got out. And if you say no, obviously, you're saying your mother's in prison. I didn't give you anywhere to go, did I? I didn't say, where is your mother? I had a true conclusion, right? Okay. So let's see how my mother's doing. Says, scientists make mistakes, but they're continuously improving. One day it can be proven that evolution by our improving technology. This kind of thinking is really the kind of thinking which comes as a result of this acidia, this racism or preconceived notions of I already know something's better than something else. It's a very dangerous way to look at things. Let's think. Let's just think about what we're talking about. If you assume they're going to prove it eventually, it means you're admitting it's not proven. And you're assuming it can be proven, it means you are already committed to the belief in this thing without proof. You admitted that this is a religion to you. Because when you accept something without proof, especially when you accept something which has proof against it, then this is a religion. This is just something you're taking, supposition. Just because you say there is no God doesn't mean it's not a religion. Because now you're worshiping creation itself. And this is a sign, really, of the last days. Haven't we noticed through our studies all of the people who came before us, how many of them were destroyed and ruined for far less than what we're doing today? Those of you that adhere to the Bible, the Jews or the Christians, or those that follow the Quran or the Muslims, you've heard these stories. You've heard it mentioned what happened to the people of Talmud, the people of Lot. And when they committed certain types of horrible sexual acts, they were destroyed by raining fire. You say, oh, that's just talk. Okay? Many people have been destroyed and destroyed and destroyed and replaced on this earth. And you can go and see the remains of it. Again, there's another book called Perished Nations. Actual photographs. The people you see in this photograph are real people. You see the photograph? Can you see it? They're real. They lived 2,000 years ago. They were imprisoned by raining fire and lava. And they're still there. They're still there. There's plenty of pictures in here. You can just look for yourself. The Quran tells us about these people. It tells us about the people who were even in places like Jordan and Afghanistan and how they worshipped false gods and thought that they would be, thought they were big and better than other people. And what happened to them? It's very dangerous to say, I know this is true and someday I can prove it. This is not, it's not evidence. If you ask me, what's your proof? And that's what this question did. Ask me, what's our proof? Christianity and Judaism have a hard time proving anything. Because their books have been corrupted. Lost, changed, altered over the centuries. Now I know we're going to find some who are going to say, no, that's not possible. You can't say that. I have my Bible. Are there any Christians here tonight who have their Bible, they think that what they have is the Word of God? Raise your hand. Think it is? What language is it in? Well, I'm asking you about your Bible, not mine. What language is it in? I'm sorry.
In English.
Oh, that's why I don't want to take something from the problem. I misunderstood what he said. I apologize. I thought you asked me my Bible or yours. He said it's in English. English. Anybody else use an English Bible? So, okay. But wait a minute. What are you doing with a Bible? I thought you was all for evolution. What, are you like a backup card here just in case? Huh? Do you like your Bible? Do you believe it came from God? No. You're not sure. No. How many Muslims in this room right now believe the original Bible came from God? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Well, they're more sure about your Bible than you are. But not in English. Not in English. Okay? So if you said, I've got the Bible, I'm going to ask you for it in the original language. If you're going to present me with the Torah, the Old Testament, I'm going to ask for it in the Hebrew language. And I need it to be old. I need it to be at least minimum 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 years old. Why? Because that's when those prophets lived. Over the century, they began to speak Greek and Arabic. Only the form was called Aramaic. Aramaic is a twin sister language to the Arabic. The difference is not in the pronunciation so much as in the meaning as it is in how it looks on paper. Okay? So if you want to present me the New Testament, the Gospel of Jesus, peace be upon him, I'd like to see it in the Aramaic language. And guess what? Not a single chapter exists extant in the Aramaic language. Oops. The same is true for the Hebrew in the Old Testament. There is none extant that can be traced back before Jesus' time. Nothing. But you say, wait a minute, what about the empty scrolls? First of all, anybody that knows the work and the scrolls never would call them Dead Sea Scrolls. They're called the Scrolls of Wadi Qumran from the Qumran Valley near the Dead Sea. They didn't find them in the water. They found them in caves. And it's very clear from those that they found that they're not original. They proved they're not the original. You know how? Because they found so many copies of the same thing, they realized that this was a place where they used to copy. They were copyists that lived there, and that's what they did. They copied from what they had before, kind of like a 2,000-year-old Kinko's. All right? You got the idea? That's what's going on. Now, they tried their best, I'm sure, and I'm sure they were religious and all the rest of down to that. Point is, a copy is a copy is a copy. It's not the original. You cannot attest to something that's a copy and expect us to take it as an original just because it came up with 50,000 copies. If you say, I own this land right here. This university is on my land. I own it. Say, can I see a deed? Yes, I have a deed. It's a 150-year-old deed given to us by the governor of Ohio. And I'm serious, and here it is. And I say, well, it has his signature. But this is the copy. This was only made yesterday at Kinko's. And you say, yes, but I have 50,000 of them in my car. I said, oh, okay, you can have the university. Stop. Come on, let's wake up. You know, you go to university here, you're pretty smart, you can figure that one out. Copies and copies and copies do not prove that the original was what you said it was. You said, well, it proves something was there. I'll give you that. You know why I'm going to give you that? Because I have a book that says very clearly in it that book really was from God originally. But this book that we're talking about, Quran, how many of you ever heard about the Quran? Heard about it. Not Muslim. I know you're Muslim. You heard about it? What does it mean? Do you know what the word Quran means? How many of you think Quran means a book? Whoa, everybody raise their hand. Book. How many of you think Bible means a book? Raise your hand. It does. Bible means book. Give you. Means book. Kitab. Okay? Quran doesn't mean that. Quran means recitation, something you recite. The recitation of this word of God, God's speech to human beings. That's what Quran is. And it says in the Quran, in the very beginning, this book. And it calls it a book because you're obviously holding it in your hand reading it when you look at it. It says, this book is the one that has no doubt in it. And it's a source of guidance for those people who fear God. So if you really fear God, check this out. You can go read the Quran and it will guide you. And if you doubt it, do it and prove me wrong. Because that's a statement that God made 1400 years ago. So if you're an honest person, clean-hearted, and you really mean what you say, say, God, guide me. You don't even have to say Arabic. You can just say, God, guide me. Pick up the Quran and read it with an open heart and open mind. And guess what's going to happen? You'll be just like the thousands of others that I've seen enter into Islam. Because that's the only prayer I tell anybody to make. I don't tell them, you've got to hang out with me, you've got to follow me around, I'm going to come over to your church or to your house and bug you and all this kind of thing and have sessions and we're going to talk about... No. No. Real simple. I'm going to tell you there's God. He's one. One God. Created everything. And if you say prove it, I'm going to say, before we go that far, why don't you disprove it? Go ahead and disprove it. Why don't you disprove that we exist? Why don't you try that? That's a theory that some people had 2,000 years ago amongst the Romans. They had a great idea. We don't exist. This is all just a dream state. Strange. You want proof? You're going to say, well, if there was God, how come I can't see him? And that's all you need. So if you see it, you're going to believe it? You're alive. You are alive. God said that, and I said it. That wouldn't be enough to convince you. Nothing will convince you. Why? Because if you can't understand that there's a creator by seeing his creation, you're not very bright. Man, you come in here and talk to us like that. Tell you what you do. You got a paper clip? Anybody got a paper clip? You know, just straighten it out, okay? And come right up here, and right underneath the plug of this amplifier, I want you to poke it in there. But go like this first. And then poke it in there. Go ahead. There's nothing in there. It's just a hole. You're just going to poke it in there. What will happen? Nothing's going to bite you. Nothing's going to jump out. What are you worried about? You say, you're nuts, man. I'll get shot. I don't see anything. I don't see anything. By the way, I'm holding this wire. I'm not getting shot. Why don't you go hold that wire right there? In fact, right there where I got the tape on that wire, I dare you to take the tape off of that and put your finger on it. Go ahead. You don't see electricity, but you believe in that. Is that right? And always, when you do see something, you always attribute a creator to it. When you see a car drive down the road, you say, oh, wow, a BMW? Yeah. Mercedes? Why do you say those names? Why do you say Capri? I think that's Arabic for car. Inside joke. Especially in Saudi Arabia. Why do you mention the names of these when you see the cars go by? You say, well, that's who made them. Who? The factory. Excuse me. Did you go to any factory and see anybody make a car? Did you? You said, well, no, but it's obvious that there has to be a creator of the car. It didn't just come here. For those evolutionists who try to tell you and I that we came from monkeys, and the monkeys came out of some seaweed, and the seaweed came out of some kind of exploding matter, and the matter came out of nothing... This is pretty good stuff. But those same same guys, if they're walking along and see three bricks, stacked up on top of each other, they will never say, wow, those bricks came along and crawled up on top of each other. See, I never say that. Will they? No, they'll say somebody did that. And when you're walking in the forest and you look down and see footprints of a bear